devotees. All glory Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutalaya Shmati Bhakti Vanta Swami Kinamane Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishishvani Vadi Paschat Yari Shatarina Satya. The song is by Narottam Das Thakur, and he laments that where are all the great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis? Where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where is the golden dancer, Gaura Nataraj, Lord Chaitanya, that I'm simply bereft because they have left this planet, because they have left these pastimes, their pastimes behind them, and all I can do is simply weep. Narottam Das Thakur, he simply bemoans his fate that he is not able to enter into the pastimes of these great devotees of Lord Chaitanya and of Lord Chaitanya himself. So that is the meaning of the song and the pastime. So, of course, today is the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was Srila Prabhupada was once asked, how was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, his guru, what kind of person? And Srila Prabhupada replied, what can I say? He was a Vaikuntha man. And so similarly, when we look at the pastimes of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who's the father of and grand spiritual master of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, we can also understand, what can we say? He was, an incredible associate of Sri Krishna and his pastimes and the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. There are two sides to every person in this material world, and as they are manifest in this material world, the pastimes of devotees, there is an outer manifestation of the person, where he is born, where he goes to school, how he grows up, what his activities are in this material world. And there is also an inner self, an inner reality that is present within. And it is part of part of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, is achintya bheda bheda tattva, that one is simultaneously one with but different from Krishna. So similarly, we can see that the spirit soul, the living entity, is one with, but he is different from his body. And in the same way, we can examine the lives of great acharyas, and we can see that outwardly they may seem to be ordinary people, they may seem to have had an ordinary life, but they are not. Internally, there is a very different reality. And in rare cases like that of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other great acharyas, we can see that even their outward activities are unusual and inconceivable. There is what they call an achintya factor in their lives. And that achintya factor is the spiritual, is that the spiritual force, their spiritual shakti, their spiritual reality overcomes that material manifestation. And we can understand that these people are mahatma, they are great souls, they are pure devotees, shuddha bhakta. And so, in the outward manifestation, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born in the year 1838 in Ulugram, which is now called Birnagar in West Bengal. Birnagar, if you've ever been a Mayapur devotee and you've had to take the train from Shelda station in Calcutta to Krishnanagar, about two or three stops before Krishnanagar, there's Birnagar. So I used to go in the train quite often during my time in Mayapur, and I would think about Bhaktivinoda Thakur whenever we would go past that station. And I never got off, though. I stayed on the track to Mayapur. And of course, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, his residence that he took up later in life is just across the Jalangi River from Mayapur. It is in Godrum Dweep. It is Surabhi Kunj. It's a beautiful, beautiful place where he spent many years there and involved in Nam Sankirtan. And that was where he established what it came to be known as the Namhatta, the marketplace of the holy name. And so this marketplace of the holy name was originally established by Sri Nityananda. And Sri Nityananda, he went all over Bengal. Actually, he was given the duty by Lord Chaitanya to preach the holy name in Bengal. And so you never hear much about Sri Nityananda going to Vrindavan or pastimes like that. But no, he stayed in Bengal and preached in Bengal, and we have the famous pastimes, so many famous pastimes of Nityananda. So this Bir Nagar was where he was born, and he was born in a very wealthy family. They were so wealthy that they had soldiers actually at their compound. Soldiers guarded their compound, and because they were allied with the British at the time, and at that time India was ruled by the British East India Company. It was a merchant company, actually. People think that, oh, British Empire, but that only came later. In the beginning, it was a merchant company that actually fought wars in India and actually began to dominate India historically, anyway. This is a historic. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's family, they were very wealthy. They had owned what was, and they had sold to the British what subsequently became Calcutta, the area of Fort William in Calcutta. So they were very wealthy. But unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way, Vaishnavas, we don't care for fortune or misfortune in this material world. But his branch of the family lost everything, and so he was sent to live with relatives to get his education. He was extremely intelligent. His intelligence was manifest from a very young age. There's one story that they say that at about 2.5 years old, he composed a poem. And actually, he didn't remember it, but they told him afterwards when he was about 5 or 6 that he had composed a poem when he was like 2 years old. So, anyway, so his parents and his family financed his education, and he ended up going to the Hindu school, which subsequently became Calcutta University. And there he did very well in exams and things like that. And so then afterwards he had to get some kind of employment because his family were very poor at the time. And at first he got a job with a sugar merchant. It's a very interesting story. And so when he went to purchase the sugar, so the merchant that he was buying from, they delivered the sugar, and then he gave an extra little bag of sugar to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur considered this very dishonest, this kind of bribery situation that was going on in the mercantile world. And so his boss told him, look, better you don't take up this kind of business, better you become a teacher. So that's what he did. So he became a teacher. And he taught in a couple of different schools, and his paternal grandmother's family, anyway, they came from Orissa. And so his grandfather, or great-grandfather, at one point called for him, said this was in about 1857, he was about 21 years old, 21. And his great-grandfather was a very powerful yogi. And his grandfather told him that, I'm going to die in a few days, And so I want you to be here, and I want you to take over and take care of business when I'm gone. And so his grandfather, he wore sannyas dress, his great-grandfather. And he also predicted that, said, when you're 27 years old, you will get the position, and from that time on, that will be your career in this life, your material career in this life. And then a few days later, this yogi, he went into samadhi, and he left his body from the top of his head, like yogis. The soul left the body from the top of the head. And so this is the kind of family, actually. Bhaktivinoda, he wrote a description of his family lineage, and there are many kings and great devotees that were related in his lineage to his family. So that is the outward. And so then, when he went to college, he met the Tagore family. The Tagore family became very famous, because Rabindranath Tagore, the younger son, he received the Nobel Prize for poetry, and he traveled all over the West, and had these poetry readings. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a very close friend of a brother, Vijendranath Tagore, for some time during his college years. So he was a very well connected person. And then, after being a teacher for some time, indeed the prophecy of his grandfather, a great-grandfather, came true, and he joined what was then the British Civil Service. Now, in 1857, when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was 19 years old, there was a huge rebellion in India. I know in our history books, in British Empire countries, it is called the Sepoy Mutiny, or the Indian Mutiny. And now, of course, in the Indian history books, it is called the First Indian War of Independence. So this is a view that one understands, that different people have a different view of history. So outwardly, we can see that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he lived in an interesting time. And at that time, the British were creating the Indian Civil Service, and many educated young Bengali gentlemen were recruited by the British to run India, basically. And so Srila Bhaktivinoda, he became a magistrate in the British administration, and he was, during his life also, an administrator of the Jagannath Puri temple. As the deputy magistrate of Jagannath Puri, he was put in charge of the temple affairs of the Jagannath temple in Jagannath Puri. And he was responsible for making sure that the proper standards were maintained in the temple in Jagannath Puri. And this was a great service. And of course, there are many other pastimes that he had in Jagannath Puri. One was, he defeated a very corrupt yogi who was a very detrimental influence. You see, at that time, there were many upper sampradayas in Vaishnavism, and there were many the Vedic standards were not being maintained. Pretty much all over India, people had forgotten the culture. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you can say, single-handedly, at least in that part of India, resuscitated and rejuvenated Gaudiya Vaishnavism as promoted and as preached by Lord Chaitanya. At that time, it's described that he had difficulty even to purchase a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He had to do a lot of research to find out even a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And once he did find a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he not only published it, but he wrote a commentary. And that commentary, Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, that is quoted many times by our Srila Prabhupada in his translation and commentary of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So from an obscure, unknown, and much misunderstood version of Krishna consciousness, you can say, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur reinstituted the proper understanding of the Bhagavad Dharma, of Srimad Bhagavatam, and of the position and preaching of Lord Chaitanya. So there's a very nice story that in the 1880s, he had been transferred to one place called Sri Rampur, which is, if you go on the Navadweep side of the railway line, Sri Rampur is on that side of the Ganges. And he became district magistrate there, but his great desire was to go to Navadweep and become the magistrate there. So by good fortune, the magistrate in Krishnanagar, in the Nadia magistrate, was inclined, and they swapped duties. So he then was able to come to Krishnanagar. And at that time, even though he was very ill with fever, it's described, he still pressed on to take up his position in Navadweep. And he arrived there and he found some lodging there at a dharmshala there. It was called the Rani Dharmshala. And he, one evening, he was with his son and another person, and they were sitting on the roof of this Rani Dharmshala, and they were looking across the Ganges from Navadweep towards Mayapur. And there he saw a great mansion on the other side of the river. An illuminated mansion was there on the other side of the river. And he wondered, what is this place? He asked his son, do you see that? And his son said, yes, I see it over there. So that started his research into finding the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he discovered that the present town of Navadweep was only 100 years old. And even people who lived, old people, remembered that they had moved in their childhood from the town that we know as Mayapur, Balaldighi, which is close to the present Mayapur. They had moved from Balaldighi to set up the present city of Navadweep, because the Ganges is shifting all the time. And so sometimes cities have to move, towns have to move, people have to move. It's very interesting if you see the property map of the deeds of all the pieces of land. Just like if you have a city map of Gainesville, they have all the different streets, and then all the different lots are marked out on the city map. So similarly, there are many lots in the area of Navadweep, and some are under the Ganges right now. So these were surveyed, and there's still all the surveyor markings are there in the plans of the local administration. So when the Ganges moves again, these people will reclaim their property. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he went across the river to find the current Sri Mayapur Dham. And indeed, the locals there guided him to one place where there were many tulsi. There was like a tulsi forest in this one place. And so he brought Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, who was then 120 years old and had to be carried in a basket. And he brought him to Navadvip, brought him to this site in Mayapur, and Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, it's described that he jumped out of the basket and started chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, like that. And so they knew this was indeed the place of Lord Chaitanya's birth and pastime. So many other places were discovered at that time. Srivasangan, the courtyard of Srivas Thakur, where many kirtans took place, Lord Chaitanya's kirtans, and many other of those places. So this was the great mercy of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And so I have a list of some of the things, and this was the top of the list: the discovery of the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya. The second was that as the magistrate of Jagannath Puri, he reinstituted the proper standard of worship at the temple. He exposed many of the upasampradayas. That was the third. And not only the upasampradayas, but he also wrote a book. It's a very intriguing book. It's called Tattva Viveka. Tattva means truth, and Viveka means discrimination. So discrimination of the truth. And in this book is described many of the philosophies of the world, Eastern, Western, Indian, monist, Advaitist, all these different philosophies, all the different religions, as he knew them, as he understood them. And so there's one. I just have to read this one because it's very pertinent. And it's very, I can't vouch for the translation. This is translated from Bengali by one of our godbrothers, but I assume that this is how he sees it, or this is how it is translated. So he said that some philosophers say that because of the first living entity's sin, all the other living entities are imprisoned in the material world as a result of that first sin. And later, punishing himself for these sins, God delivers the living entities. So the description is, so how they came to this is that thinking of the virtues and faults of this world, some moralists conclude that this material world is a place of punishment. So now, if it's a place of punishment, somebody must have done something wrong in order to be punished. Right? That's logic between crime and punishment. So, if there were no crime, why would there be any punishment? So then, as described here, then some, what he says, some men of small intelligence gave birth to a wild idea. God created the first man and placed him in a pleasant garden with his wife. Then God forbade the man to taste the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And following the evil counsel of a wicked person, a wicked being, the first man and woman tasted the fruit of the tree of knowledge and thus disobeyed God's command. In this way, they fell from the garden into the material world filled with suffering. Right? So because of their offense, all other living entities are offenders from the moment of their birth. See? So God couldn't see any other way to remove this offense, right? So he took birth in a human-like form and took upon his shoulders the sins of all these followers, and then he died. And then all who follow this God, they become liberated, and all who don't follow him fall into eternal hell. In this way, God assumes a human-like form, punishes himself, and thus liberates living entities. And Bhaktivinoda's conclusion is, an intelligent person cannot make any sense of this. It's a little bit harsh, but there it is. I'm indebted to the devotees who translated this book for that. But anyway, so Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also had a beautiful vision of a golden city of Mayapur. From his balcony, from his second floor of his Bhajan Kutir in Surabhikunj, you see Mayapur in the distance. And there now you can see this city manifesting as he predicted in the so many 120 odd years ago from this vision that he had. And so we are hoping that... Now, one other thing about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is his tremendous output of writing and poetry. Like Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada, he had a terrific schedule where he would rise early in the morning, chant, take food, and then go to his service as a magistrate. He would finish his magisterial duties in a couple of hours. He was able to do in a couple of hours what most other magistrates would take a couple of days to do. And then he would begin, basically he would come home, he would take lunch, he would take some rest, and then he would start writing. And so the output is incredible, this book by Rupa Vilas Prabhu. There's a whole list here of all the different works, starting in, let's see, from 1849 through to 1907, all the books and commentaries that he wrote are described. And some of them are the Poriad that we no longer have. And and one of the most wonderful things that he gave us was his devotional poetry. Srila Bhaktivinoda's poetry, you could say he followed the daily program. First he started with the Aruna Artik, the Aruna Daya. That's the beautiful song of Lord Chaitanya and his followers, Udilo Aruna, from the early morning. And then at midday, he composed also the Boga Arti. And then in the evening, the Sundar Arti. So all these songs that we sing on a daily in our temples, they're actually the works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, Gurvastakam, of course, is by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And also, so many other songs, like in Vrindavan at Mangal Artik, Vibhavari Shesha. It's a beautiful poem. Also, all the names of Krishna. And Yashomati Nandana, for the greeting of the deities, often is sung. These are all the poems of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And there's a beautiful, one of my favorites, I mentioned earlier about the outer view of Srila Bhaktivinoda as a kirtanir, as a preacher, as a person who established actually literally hundreds of Namhata Sankirtan groups. And yet in his inner poetry there's a beautiful song, Ami Jamuna Puline, and the words are just a wonderful expression of his internal pastimes. And the translation is, he's posing himself as one of the gopis, he's seeing himself as one of the gopis, and he's saying to the other gopis, O Saki, my dear girlfriend, what have I seen today? in a Kadamba grove on the bank of the Jamuna River, a beautiful blackish boy holding a long flute named Vanshi is sitting upon a throne of jewels, performing his pastime as the king of all transcendental mellows. Krishna is performing his amorous pastimes, which are just like a waterfall of nectar. Sri Radha and Sri Hari are surrounded by their dearmost attendants, the eight chief gopis who are situated upon the eight petals of the jeweled altar. By singing sweet songs and dancing nicely, all the gopis satisfy the treasured divine couple. Thus, his beautiful female energies behold Krishna's amorous pastimes expanding throughout the splendorous forest. For the sake of tasting the mellows of such pastimes, I will not go to my home, but will instead enter the forest. O readers, just worship the Lord of Raja, renouncing all hesitation due to fear of family members. This is the humble submission of Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna. So also today, of course, is the appearance day of Sri Gadadhar Pandit. Sri Gadadhar Pandit is considered an incarnation of the internal potency of Lord Krishna. So in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, there were many devotees who had outer relationships. Their relationship with Lord Chaitanya was more outward, like, for example, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He had a very outward relationship, the relationship where he would try to teach Lord Chaitanya the Vedanta, and then he would become corrected by Lord Chaitanya. And so this, in a very, very way, is an outer pastime that can be seen and can be appreciated in that light. And Sri Gadadhar, his pastimes were on the inner level with Lord Chaitanya. They're described a very subtle relationship level. So in the Gauranadesh Deepika, it's stated, the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna, formerly known as Vrindavaneshwari, Sri Radharani, is now personified in the form of Sri Gadadhar Pandit in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Swarup Damodar has pointed out that in the shape of Lakshmi, the present potency, the pleasure potency of Krishna, she was formerly very dear to the Lord as Shyamasundar Vallabha. That same Shyamasundar Vallabha was present in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Gadadhar Pandit. Formerly as Lalita Sakhi, she was always devoted to Srimati Radharani. Thus, Gadadhar Pandit is simultaneously an incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Sakhi. So, in the 12th chapter of this Adi Lila, there's a description of the descendants. So it's considered that those descendants of Sri Gadadhar, they are assistants in the internal pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. That is their role. And different, for example, Srivas Thakur, his descendants, they are in a different mood. And so it's a very difficult understanding, to understand the internal pastimes of such complex and advanced and highly Vishnu Tattva forms of the Lord. So there's one beautiful story of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, and it's to do with Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a very wealthy person and a very great devotee. And so one of Gadadhar's friends said, oh, you must come and visit. This is this great devotee, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. You have to meet him. This is such a wonderful personality. So Gadadhar Pandit, oh, of course, I'm always willing. So when he came, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was seated in great opulence, beautiful bedsteads, couches, beautiful incense and perfumes were flowing, beautiful fruits and flowers were all over, and it was a scene of great opulence. And immediately Gadadhar Pandit, he had doubt, said, how can such an a sense, such an enjoyer, be a great devotee. And so he had this doubt. He had immediately this doubt. And then his friend, they began to recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it described that Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he displayed such symptoms of ecstasy when he simply heard the pastimes of Sri Krishna, that he lost consciousness, his body went into all kinds of exhibitions of ecstatic love and devotion, and Gadadhar Pandit immediately knew that he had made a great offense. He considered that he had made a great offense by considering Pundarik Vidyanidhi to be a materialistic person. And the final result was that Gadadhar Pandit took Pundarik Vidyanidhi as his spiritual master, and described that Pundarik Vidyanidhi is the father of Srimati Radharani in the pastimes of Krishna. So this is a very beautiful pastime of Gadadhar's, Gadadhar being the incarnation of Radharani also. So are there any questions or comments? I hope people have enjoyed this discussion. Yes.